Hi, I'm Monse, and this is Musings of the Artist, a podcast where I have meaningful conversations with all kinds of artists. Musicians, poets, photographers, and other creatives share their honest stories, touching on the duality of being creative, the pure joy of making art, but also the particular struggles that come with it.
Truly, everything is a gift if you allow it to be. And that pain is information.
Yeah.
Pain is just information about what matters to you.
And honey, there's no way that I'll ever know everything about you, but oh, how I love what I do. And honey, I love what I don't know too.
Nicholas Patryka is the lead singer of pop rock band Walk the Moon, and is also an incredibly thoughtful, deep soul, as you'll hear in this episode. In this conversation, we dive deep and talk about art and expression. As he says, we are either expressing or suppressing. He speaks on how being a touring musician is like living multiple lives, his greatest teachers, and we unpack anxiety and learning how to banish self-judgment. Nicholas also speaks on the heartbreaking loss of his father to Alzheimer's, and how Kundalini yoga helped him cope with this incredibly painful time in his life. I can't stop thinking about the line you hear Nicholas say at the top of this intro: everything is a gift if you allow it to be. Pain is information about what matters to you. I've been a fan of Walk the Moon for years, and it was such a treat to sit down with Nicholas over tea in his beautiful home. I left our conversation feeling so touched by his honesty and depth, and I'm certain you will too. So here is my conversation with Nicholas.
It's what I don't know too, yeah.
This is the most cozy setup I think I've ever had in the podcast.
That's,
I'm very excited about this.
That's great news to me.
So how I like to start the podcast is sort of a big question, but professionally you're known for being the lead singer of Walk the Moon, but I'd love to hear from you on what, besides what you do, how would you describe who you are and how you move through the world?
That's a great question. I like to think of myself as kind of surfing all the time. Whether that's the waves of energy and human beings that we interact with on a day-to-day basis, you know, these big crowds and then in these intimate interviews and the dramatic dynamics of the band interpersonally, just sort of, you know, on my surfboard, sometimes being a total boss, and other times just, you know, fully wiping out and having to climb back on the board. But I don't know, that analogy always feels true on some level. Yeah, there's also this image in my mind of really being a channel. And I think the more that I get to know myself as an artist, and I guess as a human being, is the greatest thing I can do is get out of my own way. And there's all this incredible information, I don't know, flowing through the air at all times, and when you're sitting down to create art, I like to think that, like, yes, it's my experience and it's my voice that is kind of the that's the vehicle, but it's really a vehicle. It's like a filter or a vehicle for something bigger than myself to come through, you know, something collective, something that we all are experiencing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's beautiful. You know, it just made me think, talking about the collective, you have played countless shows all over the world. And we were just talking about that. Wondering if you could share maybe a moment or two that you remember of, like, when you've really touched a fan or just been able to speak with someone and they've told you how much your music has meant to you. Because I'm sure that's one of the most rewarding parts of doing what you do.
Sure, yeah. Just before you pressed record, we were talking about why you love doing this podcast, and you said one of the most rewarding things was, you know, someone, a fan, or I don't know what, a listener reaching out to you and describing their experience. I mean, that's the dream. One of the reasons I fell in love with music, with pop and rock music, was just being, you know, in my room in middle school or high school alone, just listening to records, and the stuff that would just make me feel the most was what really stuck with me. You know, it just made me feel what I was feeling deeper and harder.
Yeah.
And for some reason, even if it was a sad feeling, it would make me feel better.
Yeah.
So that experience is very, you know, there's no one else there. It's just me in a room. So it's the same thing with our listeners. You know, they're having, we get to experience them at our shows in person. But that's just one small sliver of the music experience pie, right? And most of the time we're not there when they are having, when they're interacting with our music in the most powerful, some of the most powerful ways. So to have a fan kind of step out of that, you know, kind of break that fourth wall or something, and speak to me or write to us, and let them know. I mean, the number of comments that have been about overcoming, like patterns of self-harm or coming out to their parents or their friends, you know, just that stuff is just like, you get chills and it's just like, wow, well, there's a whole other, awesome, purpose to this.
Really? Well, just like you mentioned, I always say that, I mean, the beautiful thing about music and art in general is just that it can show you something in yourself that you didn't know was there. It's like already in there and just sort of amplifies it, which is sort of what you were just saying.
Mm.
And that's so beautiful that that you can experience that like both ways, right? Mm-hmm. Like as a fan yourself, as you know, and then also
right. Giving
that to other people.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about your yoga studio that you co-founded, which is so cool. And I want to say, I like to not do too much research on the artist that I interview because I want to just have it be flow and be a natural conversation.
That's cool.
Yeah. But I did do a little bit of research and I was reading an interview, it's really touched me about, yoga and what it means to you. And I know you lost your dad, and you talked about how a yoga class connected you with him, or you felt his presence there.
Yeah.
And that just moved me. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that and what yoga's meant to you.
Sure. Well, my dad had Alzheimer's, early onset. He got it, the doctor said he had it from like 49. Years of age on, and he just died a couple of years ago, in his late 60s, and so it was a long, long journey, and I had been diving deep into my spiritual journey with ayahuasca and applying that to my music, and there's, you know, there being this sort of whole other mystical side to life that I was really digging, but I didn't really have any kind of connection to a regular practice or anything like that, and a physical, you know, ritual. And I had experienced yoga in different forms and gone to classes and throughout my life, and always appreciated it, but never like connected with it in a deep way until a friend of mine brought me to a Kundalini yoga class. And this particular kind of yoga was like nothing I'd ever experienced before. There was chanting. We were chanting in this strange language and doing these repetitive motions with deep, rapid breathing. And I was just, I found myself just grinning, you know, 20 minutes into the class, I'm just like elated and, you know, having a great time. And I started going to class multiple times a week. This is when I was in LA a couple of years ago writing, for our records and man, it just totally overwhelmed me just how much I loved this new thing that I had found. And when that studio sort of unexpectedly was closing shortly after I began my practice, I got together with some of the teachers and we were like, let's keep this community going. And we opened Kundalini Yoga by the Sea in Santa Monica. So I don't know, that was a roundabout way to answer your question.
That was great. Okay. That was great. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wanted to know what it meant to you, and that answers it.
Yeah. I mean, it was a way for me to cope with my, you know, my mourning of my dad and that just strange and powerful, dark journey that was experiencing his disease. Yeah. Kundalini Yoga is the yoga of awareness. So it's brought me in subtle and not so subtle ways, just the more and more ability every day to just observe my experience and not necessarily be my experience, you know, to like, to have, to see, to notice the anxiety. Yes. As opposed to be anxious, you know.
Right,
what I'm saying?
Right. And let it sort of flow. Like you see it, but it doesn't like
it doesn't own you.
Yeah. I know that. So speaking of anxiety, we were talking a little bit about this earlier about anxiety and depression, which a lot of times go hand in hand, and how I loved how you said, you know, I said like a lot of artists struggle with this, including mm-hmm. myself. And you said, I think all humans do.
Yes.
Very true, I think. And I was wondering, whatever you want to talk about that and how maybe it's touched your life, and also what's in your personal toolkit to help you get through it when you're going through either, you know, just a day of having feeling off and not good, or even like a whole year, you know, mm-hmm. however long. Like what do you pull on besides yoga, maybe? Because I know that is one of the things that helps you.
Yeah. I mean, I find expression is so key to, I mean, expressing is, I guess, is what we're doing at all times. And we're either expressing or suppressing, I think.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
We've been trained, programmed, conditioned in our culture to suppress a lot for a variety of reasons, you know, and gender roles and high school, you know, dynamics that were glorified in such awesome ways in like the, you know, the great 80s movies, but also kind of leave this impression on the way that, you know, we're supposed to be.
Right.
And what we're supposed to do and not do. So I feel very, very lucky that art is so present in my life, and that's just like what I naturally gravitate towards, because I get to have this massive outlet to, mm-hmm. you know, through which to express whatever it is that I'm going through. So, so having art, you know, it can also be, for any person, just to have something that doesn't have anything to do with their, survival. That's just something they can do for themselves, whether it's to go on a run or go, you know, something that makes them feel alive and expressed is so, so essential.
Yeah.
I mean, I've also, I think having teachers, gurus, having someone to look up to is really essential. I my mom and I are very close, but my dad was really sick by the time I was, you know, an adult. And I wasn't able to look up to him. I looked up to the memory of the way that he was this awesome leader, you know, and he still had this magical spirit through the end of his life. But I wasn't really able to seek his advice on a lot of things or share with him or interact with him about some of my experiences the way that I would have liked to. And seeking or sort of stumbling in like YouTube rabbit holes, stumbling upon spiritual guidance or you could also just call it like, I don't know, like self-improvement or life coaching, you know, that kind of things, like Tony Robbins or Bentinho Massaro, mm-hmm. or Bashar or Abraham Hicks.
Yeah.
And not just observing on kind of like a surface, like horoscope, you know, like, oh, I read this quote and it made me feel good, but really, you know, listening to that voice or that pull on my heart, you know, like when I would see something and I could feel that pull on, like, oh, I should listen to this, you know, really, really diving deep. I mean, I found so much value in really digging deep on some of those teachers, Eckhart Tolle, and applying those things, you know, seeing the application. I don't know if
that's really helpful. It's a really good point. It's like to not just, because it is, it's true. You can see a quote and it can make you feel better for a moment, but to really take it in and try to practice it, you know, mm-hmm. is a whole other thing.
Totally. Yeah.
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 And I love too how you were talking about the specific kind of yoga that really helps you, because mm-hmm. I think that's important too for people to find their thing, you know?
Totally. Yeah. There's so many, you know, in healing, they call it methodologies. You know, there's so many ways that, you know, we're so infinitely diverse human beings, right? And so, you know, that's why like diets don't really, you know, necessarily always work, because everybody's different.
Exactly.
Everybody has a unique chemical makeup, and that's just on every level. It's mental, it's physical, it's emotional, it's spiritual, and every you know, what works for one person just may not for somebody else. So having that I don't know, that trust that there is a method or
yes.
you know, something for you out there that will you know, that will speak to you.
Absolutely. And even if you haven't found it, just keep exploring what you're kind of curious about, and eventually usually you find it.
Yeah, right.
And sometimes it changes, of course, throughout your life too, right? Something mm-hmm. calls to you one point and then it's different.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. How do you keep that practice when you're on the road?
Which practice?
The yoga practice.
You know, I was really bad at it for a while. I'm very much an amateur. I consider myself a fan of Kundalini yoga, and it's only just now in the last couple of months I've been really diving in and taking this teacher training course and learning as much as I possibly can about the practice. And now I can, you know, I have some education and I can bring it with me and do it properly on the road. Before, I would kind of take bits and pieces or watch a YouTube video or something and do it in a hotel room or outside the tour bus.
Right.
But it was pretty challenging, I found, to really bring it with me. But now, you know, now I'm taking this deep dive.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, I ask a lot of musicians this question, just because of most of my friends that are musicians, do deal with this, is post-tour depression. Does that touch you at all? Like when you are, cause you, especially your band is massive and you're traveling so much and doing all these exciting things. And do you ever have that sort of like come down when you're stopped or?
Yeah, I feel like I'm living multiple lives. Like, you know, it reminds me of the feeling of being in grade school. It's like you have this whole world that is going to class, you know, every day, and, you know, taking the bus home, and then maybe you have sports or whatever. It's just like this this whole universe that you're in, and then suddenly you're in summer, yes. And it's completely different. It's like, who am I? Like, this is, you know.
Totally.
And, or maybe you go to summer camp, and it's a whole new world. And so with being in a band, or being an artist, being a musical artist, you have, I don't know, two or three or four, like, very dramatically different worlds. There's being on the road, which is, you know, it can be this extremely exciting and also extremely isolating thing, because you're like in this traveling hermit hole of the bus, or, you know, or like hotel rooms to hotel rooms, and you know, everything is transient and just such a rush. And then you get back into the studio, and which is it's a different cave, yes, you know, and you don't see the sun,
right,
you know?
Right. Okay. Most of my friends call it a cave. That's what it is.
Yeah. It's like a laboratory cave deep under the earth. Yeah. And then in between that, you have your home life.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know,
right. And in your case, the yoga studio.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's something we've really learned to do, over the last few years is have lives outside of the band, you know. Yeah. I think
important,
which, you know, you get so invested, and it's all encompassing. There's no, you know, you don't clock in or clock out,
right?
It's just all the time.
And it must be kind of hard to have your identity so, like, tied to what you do in that sense, right? I think mm-hmm. a lot of artists have that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I think about that a lot. Like, it must be kind of hard when you just full-on stop, or you take, like, a long extended break, because then it's like, oh, you know, like who am I, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, I think it's so great to hear that you're doing the yoga and all these other things that feed you, too.
Yeah.
So you have a little bit less of that.
What feeds you? I think that's, I just heard you say feed. I think that's really key. Like, listening, like, having an ear to what is feeding you, what is really nourishing you on a deep level.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talk about identity crisis. I feel like I'm having a lot of anxiety about around social media.
Yes. Oh, join the club. Yes.
Like, man, I just feel that, I don't know. I often will think back to, like, okay, well, 20 years ago or 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago, like, this was just not, you know.
I know.
Wasn't even a, like, sparkle of a dream, of a thought. There's, mm-hmm. you know, there's nothing like this. And the pressure to, I don't know, to be something in a, you know, in a certain amount of text and in a picture, like, every day. I don't, it's just like, it's so strange.
Especially
to me.
As an artist too. It's like this extra layer, because it's almost like part of your
right.
job.
It's like this, this doesn't really feel like my art. Like,
but
everybody, you know, is expected to do it. And there's also, like, there's the band Instagram, and then there's my personal Instagram. And, like, where is my identity, my personal actual right. identity really live in right. between there? And it's just, I don't know. I often fantasize about just leaving it entirely, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's also really, it's cool. You know, it's a cool blessing that you can interact with, like, any human being on the face of the earth at any time. I mean, it's totally wild.
And now your fans can, I'm sure it's probably both exhilarating and exciting and wonderful, but also kind of terrifying that, like, your fans can just have such easy access to you, and it can say whatever, you know, right there. And I wonder what that must be like, the differences. And, like you said, 20 years ago for an artist versus now, because mm-hmm. it used to be so separate, you know?
Right. I feel like there was this mystique.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
This mystery around bands and artists that's different now. When an artist is able to achieve that, it's like, it's in a different way.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that I've figured out what that is, or how to do that, or how to be that. And I think this is the age of authenticity.
Yes. Yes.
And I think people can sniff out something inauthentic.
Agreed. Yeah.
You know, a mile away.
Definitely.
So that's the takeaway, just to be that.
I think I remember hearing that, you know, anxiety is at an all-time high right now, and I no doubt it has to be tied to social media. Mm-hmm. You know, I just think about, like, I think about high school, like, there was no social media. I didn't even have a cell phone. And I can't imagine, like, going through all the stuff that, I don't know, like, being that age and so, like, raw and tender and getting that influence and wondering if, like, you know, all the things that social media does to the brain, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of worry about kids now with social media, you know?
There's this new update on the phone, you know, in the last year where it, like, will tell you a weekly,
yes,
like, printout of how much time the time you spend on your phone is down 20% this week. You only spent 6 hours a day on your phone. It's like, oh my, Jesus, God.
I know.
Like, wow. I recently lost my phone. We were playing a gig in the Bahamas, and I took my phone out to, like, do some, like, frickin' Instagram story of myself riding the Wave Runner, like, this jet ski out on the ocean.
Amazing.
Fully wiped out.
Yeah.
Lost my phone, dropped it in the ocean.
The universe was speaking to you.
Yeah. Like, no. I mean, it was the stupidest. It's so stupid. I flipped over the, you know, and I was just floating in the ocean. Just, wow, this is my life. And then I didn't have a phone for a week.
Oh.
And it was like, I was so present. And then I would walk and be like, I would notice the trees and shit, you know?
Yes, totally.
Like, totally. We are part of this planet and we're part of nature.
Yeah.
You know, it's not as though we're supposed to go, you know, go and experience nature. Like, we are nature.
Right.
And we're the one species that have done this, made this incredible leap into, you know, a world where we can, I don't know, surround ourselves with things of our own making.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
Except that we forget that we're just, you know, we're a piece of this planet. We're a piece of nature ourselves. And
absolutely.
So to, like, set the technology, whatever it is, to set the technology down for a moment, have an intentional moment with just, like, your breath,
mm-hmm,
with the sky, I don't know,
yeah,
with a freaking
tree
or or, like, notice the bug, you know,
yeah,
try, like,
totally,
walking
totally
by you, you know, I don't know, maybe this sounds really hippy dippy coming out of my mouth right now, but I just, like one consistent thing in all of these different life coaches and spiritual teachers and yogis and gurus you know, and I'm sure your grandparents and, you know, people who have been around and gotten a sense for, you know, what might possibly be the meaning of life. And it's just,
yeah,
like the thing I hear over and over and over again is be present. It's just,
yes,
like,
yes,
be here.
Yeah, it's the constant thing I'm working on.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, and isn't that what anxiety is?
Exactly,
it's like,
thinking
of the
future and the past.
Exactly, yeah. You're living. You're not living in the present.
No.
You're living in the fear of the,
yeah,
of the future, or you know, regret, or trying to process. You know, trying to replay the past.
Yep.
And not that there isn't value in,
yeah,
looking ahead or looking back. I think it's incredibly. There's so much value in that. And yet the whole point of us being here is to be here, right?
Yeah, totally.
And there's so much to notice. Alan Watts? I freaking love Alan Watts.
Yeah.
Another
yeah,
just, like, great, great mind who just, you know, you listen to him and you're like, oh, right. Like, all the tools, it's, like, all right here. But he's, I'm going to say it much less eloquently than he does, but, you know, at the end of all this, when you've reached the end of your,
yeah,
your film, you know, and it's, you know, the credits are about to play out and the lights go dark or whatever, it's like, the, you know, it isn't how much you know, money you had or how much,
mm-hmm,
you know, how many people you're able to impress or whatever, but, like, how much How much did you notice, and how much did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
You know, how much did you get to enjoy the people that you love, you know, and just the experience. Yeah.
Yeah. And exactly. That's it. That's it.
Damn.
Yeah. Ooh. I wanted to ask you, you mentioned a couple times your teachers, like teachers that have, mm-hmm. So who or what has been one of your greatest teachers in life?
My bandmates. We are a group of four extremely different people with different interests and different musical tastes and different triggers. You know, we have an amazing way of bringing out. You know, we're a true family of brothers and mm-hmm. are like. You know, or a tribe, I guess. And we have a way of like really getting under each other's skin, you know?
Yes, as brothers do.
And it's been such... when I can get out of my own head and ego and, you know, off my own high horse, I guess... I sound like my parents. and just realize, you know, how much that person is teaching me. You know, we're all mirrors for each other, right?
Yeah.
So, I forget who said that, but just like that person that you conflict with is
right.
Can be your greatest teacher. And
so when you hear that, you're like, really? Oh.
Right.
Yeah, totally.
It's like, ah, you're going to show me this part of myself? Like, God, kid, fuck you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that's, you know, we've been, and we obviously get along and align in really magical ways. And, you know, so this isn't to say that it's all, triggers and whatnot, but it's just, that's one thing I've taken away from 8 years of being with them, and it's like, wow, you know, it's such an opportunity every day to learn about yourself and learn how to be a better person.
Yeah.
So my band members, those are, you know, those are more peers, more.
Yeah.
And as far as, I went, like I said, I went really deep in these like YouTube binges and. I found Abraham Hicks, and mm-hmm. I don't know if people are yep. aware, if you're aware yep. of Abraham Hicks. What's cool about this woman, Esther Hicks, there's this whole side of what she does, which is channeling this consciousness called yeah. Abraham. And, you know, whatever, regardless of your background or your spiritual beliefs or whether you're an atheist, whatever you think is out there or isn't, this lady is dropping truth bombs everywhere.
Totally.
And it's awesome. And it's like the, you know, like kind of the physics of the way the energy flows in the universe mm-hmm. and being able to notice your, natural given navigation system
yeah.
and apply it in, you know, everyday life. Esther Hicks and Bentinho Massaro is another amazing teacher that I've just gone so deep on.
I'm going to send you some other ones I think that okay. maybe you don't know already.
Great. I would love that. I just gobble them up. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's the main takeaway I have is like this victim versus creator mentality. Like, I think that on some level we're all responsible for the way that we feel and react and approach and receive
yeah.
our experience. And yes, there are true victims. There are people who have had truly horrible things. You know, happened to them, traumas that they've endured or experienced, And so there's that sense of victim, but on a day-to-day, moment-to-moment basis, you can take responsibility for the way that you're receiving this life experience.
You're making me think that a lot of times I speak with friends of mine who sort of live with this kind of general melancholy, and just, you know, feel a lot and feel sad. And, but then they feel really guilty about that feeling. And I've had that myself. Like, I'll be just feeling really heavy one day and just thinking about, why the heck am I feeling this way? Because I have so much and I should be so grateful. And it's not that I'm not grateful. Mm-hmm. Just, I don't know how to, like, what's going on with me. And do you ever have that, those days? And like, how do you actually snap yourself out of it?
Yeah. What I picked up from what you're saying is kind of like this self-judgment.
It's like, right,
if you're that, like, somehow if you're feeling down, depressed, anxious, any variety of those things, anything but happy, that it's like, well, why, you know, like being down on yourself for being down.
Right.
And I've gotten into, you know, deep wormholes of anxiety and sadness, just judging myself for even, you know, for being that way or feeling that way. And that sucks. And it's totally unnecessary. It's like a whole layer of my experience that I can sidestep if I just stop frickin' judging myself.
Right.
Stop being so hard on myself, being a little more gentle with myself, being, you know, accepting that this is part of my experience and that there's some value to it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it also makes you feel the good days better, I think, mm-hmm. you know, when you can have that duality.
Yeah.
And one thing I'm really learning is to be at peace with the fact that there is that duality sometimes on the same day where you feel really grateful and happy and also something just really feels like sad. And mm-hmm.
In my experience with my father, you know, it's Alzheimer's, they call it the long goodbye.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah. And you're sort of slowly witnessing this person lose just day by day in tiny, the most gradual steps, just losing their ability to interact with the world. What I took away from that is that everything, truly everything, is a gift if you allow it to be. And that pain is information.
Yeah.
Pain is just information about what matters to you.
Oh, that's beautiful. Got chills. It's true.
Yeah. You know, I would watch, you know, I, there was like the day that dad couldn't go to work anymore. It was, you know, it was the calculations that he had to do were he was a restaurant manager, and he was a people person and would just light up this restaurant and was such a, you know, spitfire, just sparkly human being. And and there was the day he couldn't make it to work anymore, and then there was the day that he couldn't drive, and then there was the day that he couldn't mow the lawn anymore, and then he couldn't take the dog on a walk anymore because he'd get lost, and then he couldn't, you know, then he couldn't tell the difference between the fork and the knife. And, you know, just like these little, I mean, like just thing by thing, these elements of life that, you know, I would take for granted and suddenly this, you know, this simple aspect of this person you know, this person's ability is gone, and you're like, oh my God, I had no idea how crucial, like how important this thing was, and like as they all just kind of disappear, and it's
Yeah.
So and yet it's a gift.
Yeah.
And yet his bright spirit and his laugh and his eyes, you know, they're
doesn't go away.
To the, yeah, to the very end he was making us giggle, and I would play music for him, and he would light up, and you know, his music fandom was what got me into music.
Oh.
And
he must have been so proud of you.
Right. And you know, I would find myself in self-judgment, like should I be out here, you know, he's at home, and I'm out here traveling and playing my music, and just reminding myself that's what he wanted.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And ultimately there was a time where we canceled a tour, and
yeah,
and I had to go home and be with family. But it just getting that intimate relationship with the deepest, darkest, most painful parts of my life,
yeah,
you know, and what was that deep loss, that long extended type of loss. You know, there's kind of a fork. You can kind of, I found myself, I can choose to be angry about this, and I was, you know, I was very, very angry. I could choose to live in that, or I could choose something else, and I could choose to allow it to give something to me, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Yeah, it's clear that you've allowed it to give something to you, and you've become, I mean, I've only known you for about an hour, but but you are clearly a beautiful person. So
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing all that. Trying not to cry.
No, yeah.
Just really moving. So we only have a couple more minutes, so I want to, and I always like to end with asking some of your favorite things.
Cool.
So I'll just like say the thing and then Great. You can tell me. Okay. So how about a favorite book?
Favorite book would probably be The Giver.
Oh.
Yeah. This near future utopian / dystopian thing, and a child is the main character, and it's like his coming of age, and oh, it's really incredible.
Yeah.
Oh,
good. All right. It's like, now it's on my list.
It's like one of the great, like I read it in fourth grade, and then I'll still go back and read it, and it's just as powerful
right.
as an adult.
And you probably get something totally different out of it.
Right. It's like the freaking Lion King. It's like
maybe yeah.
it's for kids, but it's not for kids.
Right, right.
You know?
That's awesome. Oh man. Yeah. Yeah. Have you seen it on Broadway?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's something else. Okay. Yeah, I've seen it like maybe four times. It's really beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, how about a favorite album or song?
Woo!
The big one for to ask an artist.
Yeah. Okay, hang on. It's the band is Steel Pulse.
Oh.
Who is my favorite reggae band? I am a massive reggae fan. I go really deep.
Cool.
On reggae. And this band Steel Pulse have an album called Earth Crisis. And a song on that that album is called Roller Skates. And
love
it's
it.
This it's I'm gonna take a tangent. I'm just gonna go
I love
for
it. Go, go.
it's this story about, you should go check it out. But it's this story about this man who is roller skating around with his boombox, and he gets mugged, and this guy steals his boombox, and like, you know, he's like chasing him. He finds him like partying on a street corner with like all the girls are watching him, and he's using, you know, this guy's got his boombox. And but you know, it's this sort of like silly story, but the chorus is like, life without music, I can't go on. Life without music. And it's beautiful, and it's like the epitome of what I love about reggae, which is this like levity and like chill expression of something really, really deep.
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay, now I have all these cool things to check out now.
Yeah.
How about a favorite place?
Favorite place? I found it here in my home. Mm. I've been couch surfing and guest room surfing and Airbnb-ing for years, and to finally have my own place.
It's has really good energy in here.
Thank you.
Yeah, it sounds very woo-woo, but you know, yeah. It does. It really feels good.
Yeah, and I've got my big eucalyptus trees outside.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Thank you.
How about a favorite memory?
I grew up with poodles. And my dog growing up was named Luigi.
Great name.
Luigi Mario Patrica.
Perfect.
I named him myself. At age 4, and he was, you know, like 15 pounds, but thought he was, you know, thought he was a huge dog. And my dad and I would sort of like play, like box him, like we'd kind of like set him up against the couch, the back of the couch, and just kind of like box him with our fists, and he would just rah, rah, you know, and just that I love. Dogs have this way of being playfully ferocious.
Yes, totally.
Or ferociously playful.
Yep.
You know? Oh. That is my 1-800-JUNK. 1-800-GET-YOUR-JUNK or something.
Yes. Take it away.
Yeah, I'm here to take away my old stuff that I'm purging from my house.
Okay, we'll end here.
Okay,
but yeah.
Perfect timing. Anyways,
you. Yeah. Yes.
Be ferociously playful. Get out there.
Thank you so much. This is beautiful.
Thank you.
Musings of the Artist is audio produced by Aaron Morin. And the theme song is by Heather Maloney.